one. But let's do a couple things. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 5. Who'd like to read that? We're going to ask somebody to read it. We'll go quicker this way. Would you locate it and get ready to read it out loud? Somebody raise your hand quickly. Okay. And here's the question. The army of what small city defeated the Israelites after Achan stole some things and hid them? Number two, Acts chapter 17 and verse 15. Who'd read that? Acts 17, 15. Yes, okay. Here it is. In what city was Mars Hill located where Paul preached to the philosophers? And then number three, Acts 11:26. Acts 11:26. Who'll do that? Okay, Victor. And here is the question. In what city were Christians first called by that name? Number four, Acts 17:11. Would you like to do that one also? Acts 17:11. You've got Acts, 17:15? Okay. All right, and here's number four question. We'll probably read the question again. The people of what city were said to be more noble than those in Thessalonica? And then number five, in what city did Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live? John. And that is chapter 11. I'm going to let you give an answer. We're not going to read the whole 11th chapter because of time. And number six, Jacob built an altar in this city. It means the house of God. Genesis 35, 1. Yes, sir. Dana? That's your judgment call. If you wish. Oh, okay. All right. So what are we doing now? Are we interfacing?
Yeah.
I've got a mic on. Is it not clicking? Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, sir. Okay, that's very good. All right. Okay, number seven, Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. Who'd like to read that? Acts 9 and 10. You got your Bible with you, Jacob? Okay, Nancy, here's the question. To what city was Paul going when he saw the bright light from heaven and was converted? And here's one not everybody knows, believe it or not. It's in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. In what city was Jesus born? Who'd like to read that short passage? Okay. All right. And Genesis 37, 17.
Test 1-2.
Genesis 37, 17. Who'd like to do that? Here's the question. Where did Joseph find his brothers when his father sent him to look for them? Genesis 37, 17. You going to get that, Jacob? Okay, thank you. All right. And we're going to do 13 of these if we can just move right along with this. Then we're going to get right into 2 Peter. In what city did King Saul consult with a witch? 1 Samuel 28:7. 1 Samuel 28:7. Who'd like to do that? Who's that? Okay, Nancy, that's fine. Okay, the next one is Acts 19:26. In what city did Demetrius make silver shrines for the goddess Diana? Who'd like to do that? Okay, Kevin. And we got two more. The gates of what city were removed by Samson? That's Judges 16:3. Okay, all right. And number 13, the last, we've got more, but that's something else a little bit different. All right, in what two cities are spoken of together as being very wicked places? I'll tell you what, I'll give you the reference. You just go ahead and blurt it out. Judges 16:3. Sodom and Gomorrah. That's right. San Francisco and New York. Yeah, and they're both sanctuary cities too. Yeah. All right, here we go. We're going to need to do this with efficiency and rapidity. Number one, Joshua 7:5. The army of what small city defeated the Israelites after Achan stole some things and hid them? Who has that? Okay, Joshua 7 and 5.
Do you read it? Or
just chapter 7 and verse 5. Just read it right out loud.
And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the heart of the people melted and became as water.
And what city was that? Right in the beginning. Ai, that's right, Ai. All right, number two. Who has number two? Okay, and in what city was Mars Hill located where Paul preached to the philosophers, Acts 17:15? You read it, sure.
Therefore deputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him.
Okay.
17. Oh, wrong one, I'm sorry. And they that conduct Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed they departed.
So is that city...
Athens,
right, it's Athens. That's okay. You were saying the right one. Yeah, way down south they probably call it Athen. All right, number three. Who has Acts 11:26? Okay, Victor, in what city were Christians first called by that name?
And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
So it's
Antioch,
yes. Okay. All right. Number, is this back on? Does this need to be on? Okay. I got you. Yeah. Okay, number four, Acts 17:11. The people of what city were said to be more noble than those in Thessalonica?
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they that received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so.
Okay. Did you see the name of that city?
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, whose coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews.
And that's Berea, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right. I'm going to get away from that pulpit a little bit. It's kind of shooting back. Okay, number five. In what city did Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live? Well, that's John 11. Who'd like to take a shot at that? What city? Bethany. Did you have that?
I'm going to right now.
Okay, but see, you don't want to read the whole 11th chapter right now. Okay, that's okay. All right, number six. Who has Genesis 35:1? All right. And number six is Jacob built an altar in this city. It means house of God. Who has it? Okay.
And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fledst from the face of Esau thy brother.
Oh, go to where? What city? Bethel. Very good. Okay. And number 7, Acts 19, or chapter 9 and verse 10, to what city was Paul going when he saw the bright light from heaven and was converted?
And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord, a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord.
Okay, so that city is?
Damascus.
Damascus, yes.
Damascus.
Yes. All right. Number 8. In what city was Jesus born? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem.
Okay.
Bethlehem.
Yes, amen. Number 9. Who has Genesis 37:17? All right. Where did Joseph find his brothers when his father sent him to look for them? Genesis 37:17.
And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan.
Okay. Number 10. In what city did King Saul consult with a witch? 1 Samuel 28:7.
Then said Saul unto his servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.
Okay, so Endor, the witch of Endor. Number 11. In what city did Demetrius make silver shrines for the goddess Diana? Acts 19:26.
Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands.
Okay, and that city was given at the beginning, and what is that?
Ephesus,
that's right, very good. All right, now number 12, the gate of what city was removed by Samson? That's found in Judges 16:3.
And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron.
And you read about before to the Gaza.
So the city?
The name of the city is Gaza.
Do you see anything about Gaza?
No, but if you read 2 hours before, I think so. Like I was reading like 2 hours, like I know, like is it like I thought like it's
Gaza. Gaza. G-A-Z-A. That is where the Israelis had the Six-Day War in 1967, and they defeated all of the surrounding Arab nations: Egypt, Syria, Iran, all of them. Destroyed all their armament. They burnt the military. They were wood tanks back then. Heavy armored, but that burnt in the desert for years. And now, Gaza is an Israeli settlement and should be. They reclaimed it. Number 13. What two cities are spoken of together? Well, we already know that. We did that together. All right.
So was that the Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yes, Sodom and Gomorrah, wicked, wicked cities.
Are we done with the mic?
We are finished, yes. Completed. Thank you so much, Doc. All right, now we're in 2 Peter I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to skim this. We have more detailed and in-depth questions as this progresses. How many of you would like to see this and participate on this in the future if it can be arranged? Okay. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Let's follow together. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What a promise that is. Father, we ask now that you'll bless the reading of your word in our brief and short time together as we study and look and take an overview of this reading. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 4. That'll be our text. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Just briefly, if we were going to put a title on this, the title is Claiming Your Promises, and promises you have. Now, there's nothing quite as sad, if you can imagine this, of being given a wonderful inheritance and not claiming your heritage. In other words, given to you, all you have to do is take it. The epistle of Peter begins with a narrative that outlines why we as believers have it so good, literally. And today, tonight, sitting in this auditorium, you may just think that you have it rough. And I said think. 2 Peter outlines false doctrine and apostasy of false teachers. And this teaching is further defined in the book of Jude, as if time would permit, and we're encouraged there to earnestly contend for the faith. So Peter begins this writing, and as he begins it, he offers some great encouragement in verse 10, as he says this, "For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Never fall. Think on that. What a positive statement of assurance. Ye shall never fall. And keep in mind the condition on this. Peter says, if you do these things. So in a sense, our passage is literally a statement of assurance. And we keep in mind the condition. It is if you do these things. So in a sense, it is something that is working out like working math or an algebra problem. And we're going to get into that for a moment. And the formula for an algebra or math problem is really quite simple, and the answers are obvious as well. We're going to look at very quickly two solutions for claiming your promises, two solutions, a warning, and a wonderful result. Number one, solution number one, be sure to make additions when the time comes. Look at verse 5 and notice that Peter says, add to your faith. So how should we tonight add to our life, literally? Well, if we look at the word diligence, diligence means to do something with haste, to strive earnestly in accomplishing something definitive. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, back to the math problem. What should we add to our life? Well, here's something. How about faith? What is faith? Faith is belief. But to lay it out on an everyday plane for life, it is conviction, literally, of our faith. Convictions. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So we have the word add. The word add simply means to supply and to furnish or to minister nourishment. Psalm 119, verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Now we're going to do some additions. We're going to look at six additions. Number one, virtue. We're to add virtue to our life. What is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence. It is modesty. It is purity. Something that this millennial generation, the young generation in our time, certainly needs to be aware of. Philippians 4:8, Paul says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The second thing to add is knowledge. What is knowledge? In the Greek, where the King James Bible came from, the received text, here's exactly what it means. It means science, understanding, a deeper, expanded knowledge of Christianity. Listen to Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then thirdly, there's temperance. Temperance is self-control. It is the virtue of one who masters his desires and his passion. He's not out of control. Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So here we have the fourth to add, patience. Patience is endurance, patient continuance, which is the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose in life. In other words, you set a goal, you look straight. Jesus is the captain of your faith. He directs your steps, and you don't swerve from it. Now, Luke 21:19, Jesus said, in your patience possess ye your souls. The fifth to add is godliness. Godliness is reverence towards God himself. Titus, or 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Then you have number six, brotherly love. Brotherly love is charity and benevolence expressed in the household of faith. In other words, the local church. 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Here's the second solution, and we're going to have to speed up a little. Seize the moment. Now, we've talked about addition. The second is seize the moment for multiplication. See, we're in the math realm now, okay? Look at verse 8, and notice it says, for if these things be in you and abound. Now, keep that in mind. And notice where effective multiplication takes place. Multiplication, that's effective. Peter says, in you. In you. Now, when you look at the word in verse 8, abound, it means to increase. It means to exist your life in abundance. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there's a twofold result occurs as we abound. Number one, we find we have a purpose in life. In verse 8, you shall neither be barren. The word barren means to be idle. It means to be slow or to be at leisure. It speaks of laziness and shunning the labor that we should perform for the Lord. This week, there was no laziness. Everybody got busy. They got in the firing line, didn't they? And got things going in the school. And that is so exciting. It's wonderful. Now, John 15:7, herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And the second of a twofold result is this. We become yielded to the master vine dresser. Look at verse 8. Ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. The word unfruitful means not yielding what we should be yielding, what we ought to yield. It means our life is without fruit. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Third part of the outline, I'll tell you what, if it gets, right now it's only 10 to 8, so we've got a little bit more time. Isn't it 10 to 8? No, it's not even close. All right. I'm making you feel better because it's right at 7. And there are no pumpkins and carriages outside, so don't worry about it. The midnight bell's not going to ring, and there's not going to be fire and brimstone falling on our church. There will not be. Thirdly, now we have the warning. When we are not growing, keep this in mind, when we are not growing, we are falling. Did you catch that? If we're not growing, we're falling. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There's two simple truths on this. Number one, he has poor vision. Verse 9, is blind and cannot see afar off. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Secondly, he has not only a poor vision, he has poor memory. Verse 9, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So how far? Peter is talking, this person became backslidden. And our last point, we're going to close. Here's a wonderful result, and let's couple it all together. Be sure to check your answers. Are they right? think on this. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, here's the checkup. Verse 10. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The word calling is speaking of an invitation. It is a call to a certain vocation of which God is leading us into. It is an invitation to embrace what God has already and is and will be giving us. Now we have election. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Election is this in this passage. God's decree made from our choice, listen, our choice by which God determined to bless His people through Christ by His grace. Did you catch that? God blesses His children through election, through Christ by His grace. And here's the results. Number one, we will perform our Lord's will from the heart. Verse 10. For if ye do these things, the word do means to prepare for more, to make ready. In the ministry, well, let's take a pastor. Any pastor that is God called, he will prepare his heart and God will begin to add more to his calling, and that's the way the Lord does it. And may I say to you this evening, that if you'll answer God's call to serve in Florence Baptist Church, that God will take and enable you and every one of us to take and expand and do these things and prepare to do more and to make ourselves ready. Notice he says these things. What is these things? It's these words that Peter is giving. Listen to Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here's the second thing, and we'll close. Our walk and our stand, if we'll do all these things, will be consistent. Verse 10, ye shall never fall. The word fall means to err, to stumble, or to slide into misery. In other words, we could say slide back into misery. That's backsliding, you see. If we're not, D.L. Moody, great evangelist of years ago, used to say, if we're not as close to Jesus today as we were yesterday, we're backsliding. And that is the truth. That is the truth. So, ye shall never fall. Claiming our promises. Two solutions, a warning, and a wonderful result. Yes.